Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show.
Yeah.
Giving you information you'll want to know. Speaking on issues affecting us all and music for the soul.
Yeah.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Hello, world. How are we doing this afternoon, this evening, or hey, this morning, wherever you're at on the globe? And welcome to the Bobby Eaton Show. And today we have Women of Tomorrow with Michelle Brown. And we're going to be getting to her, you know, and we're going to be talking about some great things concerning women. And in the studio we have, hey, the lovely Miss Sansa Ray.
Hey, I'm waiting to hear about all these lovely women and what they have to say and what impact they're making on the city of Tulsa. I'm very participant of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're doing fine. Weather's beautiful.
Great. Also in the studio, we got Marlo Marlo.
Yo, what's up, man? What's going on?
What's going on with you, man?
Oh, good, man. I'm enjoying this weather, man. I actually got up this morning. Got up at about 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. Man, it was so beautiful. It was so nice and cool. You know, the fall. That's my time of weather, man. So it was really nice.
Yeah.
Also, have a good friend of mine, and she's over in the studio over there. Miss Shamika Skillings is over in the house. Hey,
yeah.
How you doing? She's just sitting over there in the cut.
One of our very own military.
Talking to my dad. You know how that go. Yeah. Mm. Right. Hey, Pops on the scene.
Yeah, okay. Poppy. Yeah.
Pop
Izzle. Yeah. And also, hey, I want you guys to keep in mind that we're here on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also on Saturdays from 12 to 2 Central Standard Time. And all you got to do is just dial that number 646-716-5525 and press that one button. And, hey, you'll be right in queue and listening to the show and all that's to come.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your opinions and comments. You might even have a request.
But we also want to remind you too that, you know, we want to make sure we keep our comments and questions clean and explicit.
Squeaky.
We do not curse on the Bobby Eaton Show.
We ain't having all
you
of
have
that.
To
now.
Censor yourself.
Some BS.
Hey, Sansa Ray, what do we have in the news today?
Scanning the headlines, Arnold Palmer, one of the greatest golfers ever to pick up a club and the object of a massive fan base that called itself Arnie's Army as he recorded 7 major victories, died Sunday at the age of 87 in Pittsburgh. Palmer's importance to the subsequent generations of golfers was evident Sunday as tributes just poured in via social media. He was born in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Palmer's endearing personality and skill on the links earned him the nickname The King during a career whose beginning coincided with the birth of television sports. Along the way, he became one of the wealthiest celebrity endorsers, a philanthropist, golf course designer, and pilot. Well, baseball fans woke up to news that Jose Fernandez, at the age of 24, had been killed early Sunday morning along with 2 friends in a boating accident in Government Cut at the channel that separates Miami Beach from Fisher Island. Sad thing. Well, you know, the Marlins were going to take on the Atlanta Braves, but the game was canceled in memory of Fernandez. And for Fernandez's girlfriend, Carla Mendoza, she's pregnant with his child. Fans from different nationalities all came out to Marlins Park despite the cancellation, and they formed makeshift memorial composed of flowers, handwritten notes.
Wow.
They knelt to pray, and they read verses from the Bible. The mayor of the city of Miami, Tomas Regalado, said that the pitcher's death has just left everyone heartbroken.
Yeah.
In other news, the New York Times and the Washington Post editorial boards unleashed a broadside today against Donald Trump ahead of the first presidential debate, scrambling to make their case for why Republican nominee should not be president as he gains on Hillary Clinton in the polls. The Times, after endorsing Clinton over the weekend, went a step further with a new editorial titled Why He Should Not Be President. The 1,400-word essay sought to systematically knock down Trump's own claims about his assets as a leader, describing him as a man far more consumed with himself than with the nation's well-being.
Wow.
The Times wrote, voters attracted by the force of the Trump personality should pause and take note of the precise qualities that he exudes as an audaciously different politician. The bluster, savage mockery of those who challenge him, degrading comments about women, mendacity, crude generalizations about nations and religions. Well, the warning, it comes ahead of the first formal face-off between Trump and Clinton that's set for tonight at Hofstra University in New York, starting at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So since we're here in the Midwest, we know it's going to start at 8 o'clock. And right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, rallies continue Sunday in Tulsa, 1 week after Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby shot and killed Terrence Crutcher. The Rally for Justice organizers said the rally wasn't about assigning blame. The group said enough people have pointed fingers. Hundreds of people packed the Greenwood Cultural Center Sunday and collectively said they want solutions. The crowd is just as diverse as the nearly 10-member panel. It's that diversity that Miko White hopes will help change what she calls the tense racial climate in Tulsa and the country. She went to high school with Terrence Crutcher. We just want peace. We want to bring everybody together, not just the black family, but the white, the Hispanic. It's going to take all of us coming together to make change, said the family friend, Miko White. Organizers say the rallies and vigils are great for those in mourning, but they are also important tools to help energize the public. My thing is for the people to leave here and know they can do something to help make a change, said organizer Gerald Harris. Throughout the nearly three-hour event, the panel members presented suggestions on improving police and community relationships. One suggested a continued push to create an
we letting it all hang out. I see the bread house. I like ladies back, that's a fact. Ain't holding nothing back. I see the bread house. Well, put together, everybody knows this is how the story goes. She knows she's got everything that a woman needs to get a man.
Ah, yeah. Ah, yeah. Hey, I'd like to apologize for all the technical difficulties. But we're back on the air. All right.
We just took a break, that's all. Took a break right in the middle of the news.
Great, great, great. Once again, I want to apologize for all of the technical difficulties. And like Sansori said, we just took a break.
Yeah,
hey, we're back on the air. And we have in the studio with us Miss Michelle Brown with Women of Tomorrow.
That's right.
And so she's going to be coming up in just a minute. We got Marlo with the weather. Marlo, you about ready for that weather there, sir?
Always, all the time. You know how it goes. But anyway, like I said before, today one of those beautiful days. It was so beautiful in the morning. High today for Mondays. Back to work, back to work, back to work. 76 degrees for the high. Low's going to be 57 tonight. Pull those jackets out. On through Tuesday, it's going to be sunny. High's going to be 82 degrees. Low's going to be 50.
Okay, once again, apologizing once again. I don't know why are we having all of this technical difficulties, but man, this is crazy. Technology is somewhere else, isn't it?
It happens. Yeah. It happens. Unfortunately.
Okay, let's get back into it. You know, hopefully we won't have to get beeped off the air or something like that. I don't know. Maybe conspiracy or something.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It's a conspiracy.
Somebody's trying to do something.
That's right.
Because sabotage us over here.
We're the only black venue. So.
Really? Well, anyway, it's sunny, 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 sunny.
Yeah, right.
For the rest of the week, okay?
So does that mean that we're going to have an early winter? I hope not.
We ain't going to have no winter in no Oklahoma. We didn't have one last year. We're not going to have one this year.
Well, I hope you're right. I definitely hope you're right.
Man, Well, hey, let's go forward with what we're doing right here. And did you do the weather?
Yeah,
did they
get
there? Have you done that already?
I halfway did the news.
Let's just get on with Michelle, okay?
Let's get on with Michelle.
Come on,
That's right.
Let's get on with Michelle. Hey, in the studio, we have Women of Tomorrow, Michelle Brown. How are we doing, Michelle?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Great, great, great. Now, you've been having this organization. How long has this organization been together? And explain it to us, okay?
Well, Greenwood Cultural Center has been offering the Women of Tomorrow program for probably about 12 years now.
Wow. 12 years, okay.
12 years. And it is a leadership and character development program sponsored by the Greenwood Cultural Center for young ladies ages 11 through 15 or so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, wow. Well, what are some of the things that you guys do, you know, once they come together, what do you do?
Well, Bobby, our purpose is to encourage the girls to positively impact their academic development and their achievement in school. So we connect them with mentors and professional women in the community that can encourage them in that way. We also promote the development of healthy lifestyles and help them to develop leadership skills, self-respect, address improving their self-esteem, and they commit to providing community service within the community.
Mm-hmm. I know now, I've came down there sometime during the summer months, and you guys just had kids just everywhere, and you had the cultural center kind of sectioned off in the different departments.
Yeah.
And could you explain to us and tell us, like I even saw a musical arts department and stuff like that. Tell us some of those departments and stuff, what you guys do.
Well, you know, Bobby, a lot of people may not know, but the Greenwood Cultural Center was built for our children. The founders of the Greenwood Cultural Center came together with the mission to create a place where our kids could come to learn more about various forms of the arts. And for quite a while, our kids did not have that type of exposure. So we have offered a summer arts program for a little more than 20 years that exposes our children to different forms of the arts. And so each summer there are several core classes that the children rotate through throughout the month, theater arts, African dance, vocal music, instrumental music. We've had the honor to work with D.G. Razé, a local trumpeter. Regina Goodwin, who is a visual artist, along with a lot of other great, talented artists. Last year, we worked with Tay Hero, who has been nominated for an award recently. So we are able to connect our children with professional artists from our community that can expose them to different forms of the arts. And throughout the month, they are attending these classes throughout the day. It's an all-day program. And at the end of the month, the kids put on a performance, and they showcase everything that they've learned throughout the month.
Okay.
And it is amazing to see how much they learn in that short amount of time and how excited they are to get on stage and perform for their families and friends.
Wow, wow.
How many kiddos do you normally have in your program?
We have 100 children that attend every year, which is about the max that we can accommodate in that facility.
Okay.
But there is a need for either our expansion or other similar programs, because as many children as we enroll in the program, we turn away.
Oh, my goodness. Is there a cost?
It's $100 for the month.
Okay, and it's the month of?
June.
June. Oh, it goes through the total month of June.
It goes through the total month of June. And we also offer the Children's Defense Fund Freedom School Program, and we've been offering that program for about 8 years now. And that is a literacy-based program for children in grades kindergarten through fifth grade.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it is a free all-day program where the children are also actually learning to improve their reading skills. And Dr. Art Williams does our evaluations for us each year. And we are able to show that when the children participate in the program, they lose, over the summertime, they lose less of what they usually lose during the summer, being out of school for 3 months.
Yeah.
But their reading skills, their reading levels are actually improving, along with their character skills, because we address that as well during the summer. So we're seeing some awesome, incredible, measurable results with the work that we're doing with the children there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, wow, wow.
Is it a five-day-a-week program that they go through?
It's 5 days a week from 8 a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m.
Like regular school.
Yeah.
It's like regular school.
That is wonderful. And you catch them right when school lets out the whole month of June, so that kind of reinforces what they
absolutely.
That's wonderful.
And we keep them for 6 weeks. And we part of the policy of the Children's Defense Fund is to identify young people in our community, college-age students that go to Tennessee, they learn this curriculum that all of these other chapters across the country are doing. We're the only chapter here in Tulsa, and one of only two in the state of Oklahoma.
Wow.
And so they see young people that they can look up to, college students that are there to mentor them and build relationships with them. And our children return year after year. We really don't have to advertise the program.
So they repeat. Right.
They repeat. Mm-hmm. It's mostly done word of mouth because the program is so successful. Parents start calling us in about February.
Trying to get their kids in early. Huh?
Absolutely. And it's a free program.
Oh, my goodness, it's free.
Oh, it's free program.
Yes.
Okay.
They just do you provide transportation, or do they have to make sure that their child is there from 8 to 3?
The parents have to make sure that the children are there.
Just drop them off at school, huh?
It's like dropping them off at school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more happy
lunch,
to do that.
Or do you provide lunch?
We provide lunch. We provide all of the supplies. We provide the snacks. We cover their field trips.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's all inclusive. We take care of everything, and they're responsible for getting them there, but they're also responsible as parents to be an active part in their children's learning. So we expect for them, it's mandatory that they attend parent meetings so that they can learn ways to enhance their children's learning.
Oh,
and we talk about voter registration. We talk about things that are important and relevant in our community. But we expect them to be a part of the program. And we have a really good group of parents that are committed to participating in the program in that fashion.
Mm-hmm. Some parents may have several children, I guess, you know, and they come as well, you know, two or three or four kids. And if they get there on time and able to register in advance, they're able to attend the classes,
Absolutely.
And I think that's good also as well, because then it doesn't seem like, you know, it's another after school thing where, you know, it's somewhere to drop your kids off
right.
so they can go be adults, you know.
Right.
So allowing them to be a part of that and involved in it, I think that's a big credit to that.
Yes,
you know?
Thank you. We're working to always incorporate the history of the 1921 Tulsa Race Riot in Black Wall Street as a foundation,
mm-hmm.
making sure that children that walk through our door walk out knowing more about their history and giving honor and respect to our forefathers who laid the foundation for us, who opened so many doors for us. So that's an important part of what we do as an organization.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Now, how many teachers do you guys have that actually participate? Do they volunteer, or how do you? Yeah.
Well, for the summer arts program, we have 4 core instructors, but we have a lot of support
mm-hmm.
personnel. I think the program would not be possible, any of the programs, without the assistance and the work of Deborah McClellan,
okay.
who is a nurse at Gilcrease Elementary currently, but she's worked in the school system for a little over 30 years, I
mm-hmm.
believe, and she's instrumental in providing those services and programs to our children. But for Freedom School, the ratio is 10 students to 1 teacher.
Wow.
Which, 10 students to 1 teacher. They're not getting
wonderful.
That in the public school system.
That's
so
right.
during the summer, they get a lot of one-on-one attention, and they're paid positions, and we pay them pretty well.
Okay,
too. We want to help those college students and be able to support them financially so they have a summer job to look forward to, and they
mm-hmm.
receive training out of Tennessee, and this is something that they can put on their resume that they've been able to do. And, you know, they come back year after year as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Great. Now, I noticed that you were saying children. Now, is this boys and girls as well?
Boys and girls.
Boys and girls. Okay.
Yeah, about an even split.
Okay.
And they need to start putting in their applications February?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard?
Well, parents start calling for information around February.
Okay.
We start distributing information around that time. We actually enroll sometime around April, usually the 1st of April.
Okay.
Enrollment for Freedom School is one day. It's usually the first Monday in May. We open our doors at 8 o'clock a.m., and we're usually completely full by noon.
Wow.
So it's important that they get there early, to be a part of the program. But we're working to be able to expand. Right now, the last couple of years, we've been housed at Emerson Elementary School. So the potential is there for us to expand the program and to be able to offer it at other schools in North Tulsa.
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Great.
Wonderful.
Now, Michelle, you've been at the Cultural Center for quite a while now.
Yeah.
You know, what changes do you think have taken place within the last, I guess, year or so that you can feel like you know, that has taken place down at the Cultural Center? I know you got the Freedom School going,
mm-hmm.
and I know I saw some remodeling take place. Can you kind of tell us about that?
Well, I've been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
This is my 20th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it has definitely been a joy and an honor. And I've had the privilege of watching many of our children from our community grow up in the program.
Right.
They start out as, you know, at 4, 5, 6 years old, and they leave as teenagers. And we have many that come back to volunteer or to work with the program. So that's definitely been an honor. Within the past year, couple of years, we've received or have built a relationship with the One Oak Foundation.
Okay.
And we received some financial support from them. And that's been great for us because it has opened some doors and allowed us to resume some of the programs that we lost when we lost our state funding about 5 mm-hmm. years ago, like many other nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But their support and their vision for the Cultural Center, which is seeing us being able to lay some new tile, put in a new sound system. I don't know if you've been there to see.
Yeah, I saw a new sound system tile.
Yeah, you made comment on that the last time we were there.
Oh, they got some new sound.
Yes.
Sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
New tiles on the floor and stuff.
Completely updated, new tile, new carpet, all of that.
Uh-huh.
That's wonderful.
Great. Mm-hmm. So I know my good friend Frances Jordan Rexall. You know what I mean? She's been there, and she's just a charm within herself. And you guys work real close together.
Yes, we do. Frances Jordan Rexall has been there about 16 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I fell in love with her when she first started.
She's easily to fall in love with.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is with Frances.
Yeah,
you know.
she is a genuine person. She's family-oriented and I saw early on how much love and how devoted she was to her daughter and then her granddaughter. And we share that because I had young children at the time and I was equally devoted to my children. And so we built a mutual respect for one another. And, you know, Frances Jordan Rakestraw has rode the waves with the Greenwood Cultural Center during our good times
and
bad
times. She's been through it. She's been there.
She's been through it. And she definitely deserves credit for helping us to keep our doors open and helping to keep things going. When we didn't know how we were going to make payroll. We didn't know if we were going to keep our doors open.
Wow.
She has been the person to make that happen and to
strong woman.
Strong woman.
Wow. Strong woman.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I give her money. Much respect
and
to her.
And she's got a real nice husband too. And
yeah.
You know, he's real nice because his name is Bobby.
And he's handsome too.
He's a good guy. I like they fit each other. So.
They do.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we know that the Cultural Center is a very historical landmark for our. It's a special place for our community.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the Cultural Center, a lot of things wouldn't have happened.
Right.
You know, people have their class reunions there.
That's
they have their banquets, their functions, and everything.
And a lot of history.
A lot of history.
Know about.
Yeah.
You know,
right
it's
at
a
the
lot
Cultural
of history
Center.
There.
Yes, absolutely.
Located at 322 North Greenwood Avenue, right in the heart.
That's right.
Of Wall Street.
Right, Black Wall Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and shout out to also Miss Frances Fleming. You know,
yeah.
Frances is down there as well.
Right.
Well, and you guys are just doing some tremendous work down there with those.
And I think so too. It's so vital what you're doing because, like I said before, and I always, you know, when we talk about this, I always bring this up. And the fact that, you know, I'm originally from Detroit, I lived in Detroit over 30 years. Never heard about Black Wall Street or you know, Black folk owning over 600 businesses was never heard of until I came down here. So it was so shocking to me to even knew that that particular community existed. Not saying that it wasn't in other areas, it was a lot. But just for this one, it was just something about the Tulsa, something about that one is just like, you know, it's like a hidden treasure. You know, and then what really amazed me, you know, I've been here several years and it's like, they were still trying to hide that. You know, it's like, wait a minute, why are you trying to, this, if anything, this needs to be national.
Yeah.
It needs to be national because
in
it's
the history
so much
book,
in that. Yeah.
Every history book.
In the schools.
In the school.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You know, that's so true that there are still many people that do not want to talk about it. And we did an interview yesterday with CNN because there's now so much national attention because of the opening of the Smithsonian African American Museum. And because of some current events that are taking place now, people are asking how, what's the status of race relations in Tulsa and how has it evolved since 1921? And that's a great topic to have because, you know, in some ways, we've definitely made some advancements. But in other ways, racism has not changed quite as much as you would expect. We have to realize that during the 1921 Tulsa race riot, there were young people, there were, you know, men and their children. They had left to go and arm their children and brought them to fight alongside them. And these people, following the race riot the following day, when our families returned to absolutely nothing but ashes, they returned to their homes and their businesses and their positions as firemen and police officers and city officials and city leaders. And we grew up alongside them knowing what had happened and knowing what had taken place and the massacre that had happened and how many hundreds, if not thousands, of African-Americans had lost their lives. And yet nobody wanted to talk about it. Everyone wanted to sweep it under the rug. No one was held accountable. No one was arrested for hundreds of people losing their lives. So it's important. What we do in regards to the services that we offer our children is important, but on a national level, on a historical level, talking about the Tulsa Race Riot and Black Wall Street, acknowledging that happened and how important that is part of our mission and part of what we're committed to do.
Wonderful.
And one of the reasons I really believe that God has allowed me to be there as long as I have. In 1996, we identified 165 Tulsa Race Riot survivors. And those were individuals that I was able to speak with and to spend time with.
All
and to
this
talk
theory,
with.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have two living survivors now that we're aware of. But one of the things that reporters asked our survivors when we began the discussion about reparations is, we know you want something. What exactly do you want? And so they said, of course we want reparations for everything that our families lost, their homes, their businesses, people lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want more than anything is for our children to know our history, to know that we were a proud people, to know that we had a sense of community love and support for one another, that we helped one another,
That's
that
right.
when I started my business, I grabbed my sister's hand and helped her start her business, that everybody had their own business and everybody was making money.
And that's the key right there, starting the business. That's all we want. We don't want a handout. We want an equal opportunity to go put an application in for a loan for a business to be established here in North Tulsa and be approved. That's all. We don't want to
And she said something, too, again, that was so vital. You know, all of that, you know, and I still believe, and I'll say it until I leave this planet. But, you know, I still believe that, yes, they do deserve that. But most importantly, the importance of that is passing that on of the reality of these people were the example that it can work.
Absolutely.
Through any circumstances, through anything, through any fighting against it, they made it work.
Absolutely.
So to deny us, okay, they've been denied the reparations, and we're not screaming about that. But then to deny the history and what happened, and not only just what happened with the massacre, before that.
Yeah.
See, I like to talk about before that, because
right.
all that tells me is that there was years before that happened that they were successful.
Yeah.
And we don't hear about that. And that's what I think was important.
And that, but you know what? I want to encourage all of our young people. You know, you guys hear me say this all the time. We got to get back to building.
Yes.
You know, saws, hammers, nails, and our young people got to, we got to get them back to want to use a drill, you know what I mean? Into painting and building again, because that's what we did.
Yeah.
That's how we had so much success. We built the building.
That was the beginning.
We built everything. Mm-hmm. And then we spent our money amongst ourselves, you know what I mean, in our community. And it just went over, flipped over and over and over and over and over. And we had that economic wealth.
Yeah.
So we got to start somewhere. I don't know. We got to get a program or some kind of school over here.
How about a bank?
Oh, now, see, that's it. Our credit union.
Credit union.
You know, or something
because
in our community.
Because that's my whole thing is it seems to me here in Tulsa that we still have all of these intelligent minds. We still have all these aspirations and this determination. But you can't – all that means nothing, and it's for naught if you don't have the economic support. And that's what we are vying for right now. We need some place that – these young people can go to these people that that's why a lot of them graduate from college and they leave.
Yeah.
There's nothing here for them. There's no. I was so amazed, Bobby, when I learned just last week that at least we had two black-owned gas stations. We don't even have that now.
Yeah, we don't have that. But, you know, other races, the Hispanic race, for example, they can go into – I've seen them look at our old house, run down, broke down.
Yeah. Call
their friends up. They get a couple of beers and some saws. And next thing you know, in a couple of days, boom, they living in it.
Yeah.
It's back up and it's moving. Why? That's what we used to do.
We used to do that.
That's
for
what we used
other.
To do for each other. You know, I remember a time if your mother or your grandmother was sick. You know what I mean?
Somebody
and Ms. Johnson down the street would bring you a pot of greens.
That's
or
right.
Ms. Williams going to bring you some cornbread.
Yep.
Don't wake up, baby. Y'all just can't take this on it. You know, that's the way the community used to do.
It's called a village. We don't have
village.
That anymore.
And now you don't even know your own
but
neighbors.
But programs like Women of Tomorrow and the programs of the Freedom Schools, that will help implement that mindset to our young people, because that's what we need to zero in on now. You know, there's a generation that's just lost. And there's you know, there's only a handful that really understand.
Well, but and we're truly lost, because when you talk about African-Americans versus Hispanics, when they come here, they have a tie to their history.
Right.
They bring their culture with their language with
them.
They
have a country.
And we have, what do we have before the history of slavery? We're completely disconnected from
that's
that.
That's the identity part.
Exactly.
That's right.
And they.
That's why we are called African-Americans, because the identity has been taken away. Because the reality of it is, you know, and I say it from this day until on. No. From what I've been studying and the history that I've been studying,
mm-hmm.
my background is Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I confess to be.
Yeah.
Because we've been cut off.
Yeah.
Well, see, we only go back to slavery.
Yeah.
We stop
We stop right
there. We stop at slavery.
Right.
We don't go back to the generations
ancestors
before.
I just heard
slavery.
Through the grapevine that my great grandfather was Ethiopian. If my family hadn't passed that down to me, I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I wouldn't, and I still don't know where my real roots
it's
are.
It's our history.
Yeah,
we need to go back to learn our
family.
History.
Yeah.
It's our history. That's why I appreciate a Freedom School and you know that you're working with the youth and the young kids and things
mm-hmm.
like that to give them this knowledge and give them this information to build that esteem, to make them feel some self-worth.
Now I have a question. I know you said that part of the program you help the college students. They come in and teach, and you pay them, gives them something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Are they minority students, or do you also hire white teachers, or should I say European teachers? And the reason why I ask that and say that is because even though I know how the importance of our children learning from us, I also feel that it's important for European culture to learn from us. Maybe it will help them understand us.
Yes.
And we won't have all this conflict all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are servant leader interns, which is what they are called, are predominantly African-American. Now, we do have European-Americans, as you referred to them, that work for the program as well. We're not discriminating against anyone.
Okay. What about students?
We do have students of other races.
Oh, really?
It's more about location. We're focused
on
mm-hmm. children in North Tulsa, where we lack so much.
Right.
But we lack a lot of programs and opportunities for the kids to do anything during the summer.
Yeah.
Right.
True. So true.
Yeah. So we do have diversity in the program.
Well, that's wonderful. Right. That's
and
wonderful.
That's good. I mean, it shows the character of who we really are.
Yes.
Because all through society, all through, you know, you can go back decade after decade after decade, and after every war that we've dealt with,
mm-hmm.
we've always been a people of welcoming other people.
Yes.
That's right.
Even the ones that didn't like us.
That's
and we
right.
knew they didn't like us. We've
That's
always
right.
been a people of welcoming people. So, you know, and what you were saying before, it's more important for the North Side, because of the fact of what we're lacking so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it reminds me of some things that I'm trying to think of his name. It's crazy. It's not coming to me now, but Malcolm X,
mm-hmm.
it reminds me of some things that he used to say, you know, and, he was all about, you know, whites having things that they needed, but he was more concerned about what we needed first.
Yeah.
You know, we the issue was with us. It's things that we needed. It's things that we needed to do.
Absolutely.
And I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. Well, I just like the fact that this program is zeroing in, I'll say this until I leave this earth, on our young people, elementary, middle school, and high school, because they are tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that need to understand and be proud and know our history, and then know that, you know, the possibilities are there. But it's hard to do when we don't have anything of substance over here economically that they can look up to, that they can see. We got maybe one or two people that they might really.
And to learn to trust each other.
Exactly.
That's what, like what
and
you were saying before,
exactly.
Sansa Ray, earlier in the show, you know, that gap that's going on now is what really damaged us.
Yeah. It really is.
You know, and,
you know,
and we deal with a
know,
lot of people
European,
now.
European, they, white men, they knew what they were doing.
The trust. You know,
yeah.
It's hard.
Well,
we
you
find
know,
it's a challenge to trust each other.
Yeah.
So we got to teach that again.
Yeah. The system is working.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's designed to do certain things.
Exactly.
To oppress and depress, you know.
Prison systems.
And to pit us against mm-hmm. each
and
other.
And pit us against
and
each other.
Pit us, yeah.
And that
each
comes
other.
From the old Willie Lynch syndrome.
Right.
And you know what
yeah.
I mean? You guys need to educate yourself about Willie Lynch. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And see that it exists even today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's why there's so many killings going on.
That's
and,
right.
And so much. We're killing each other.
Right.
You know what
that
I mean?
That is the thing that really gets to me. I understand we really need to stand up for those, for the mistreatment and the injustice that is against our black men and black women who have unjustifiably been shot down in cold blood. But I'd like to take on and challenge each other in our community, our young people. Stop this little penny ante bickering about colors and gang signs and all that. Don't you understand that is what the man is meant to do? He did that on purpose. He pit you against each other so that he wouldn't have to worry about killing you. You're going to kill yourself.
Yep, that's how it goes.
I mean,
and then again, it's
is that not common sense?
No.
But that the thing is, that's the challenge.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. Because it still goes back to what you were saying earlier. And listen, that is part of the game. And what I like to push more is the fact that, because, you know, we get accustomed to saying the man or
mm-hmm.
the system, and mm-hmm. we gotta take it more direct.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go to the source of who's doing what.
Exactly.
You know, it's easy to say, oh, it's the system.
It's
but when
system.
You say
That's
the system,
true.
That could be
yeah.
anybody.
Right.
That's right.
You know, but we have to learn how to get that focus even more. So, okay,
exactly.
This is where the problem is.
Yeah.
It's the CEO of such and such and such
yeah.
and such. Or
yeah.
it's the president or
yeah.
such and such.
Or things that are said or done, like, okay, we got this transparency, and we got this DA, Steve Kunstweiler. Mr. Kunstweiler, he came up, he came through, he did file, put out a warrant for Shelby's arrest. But he made absolutely sure, he hasn't done this for anybody else that I heard
Kunstweiler.
Of. But Kunstweiler made absolutely sure that he said, she is innocent until she is presumed otherwise by a judge or jury. We already know that. You say that all the time. We see it on TV. You didn't have to say that. That subliminally told me that what he was saying was, yeah, we're going to charges up against her, but could it be that in the end it's going to be a justifiable?
I keep trying to tell you guys.
We have not condemned not one officer for any killing.
It's
nationwide.
The system. Marlo says it's not the system.
No,
it's
I did not say it was not the system.
He was
the system. I said
point
we
got to
focus it more on the people in the system. See, when you say the system, that could just mean anybody.
But you know what?
No,
Marlo,
no, no. The system
but you
is
the
American system set up and designed to keep oppressed and minorities down.
But
that's
you
what
know
I
what? Okay, and that's all well and good, and I agree with that. But you know who's keeping us down? We're keeping ourselves down because
for
we
sure.
don't get out and vote when we should from these cities.
Well, I'm
going to
agree with that. I'm agree with that.
That will be a change right there.
But see,
but no, no, we won't do that.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. The system, why I keep harping on the system. The system, and we're going to get back to
we're going to get back.
We didn't win all off in there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Something else. But why I say the system, black people, we do not manufacture anything. No guns, no boats, no airplanes, no drugs.
Yeah.
We don't do it. The system is in control of all of that. And what the system does is put it in places
mm-hmm.
to where they can control.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see.
And put our men in jail.
And put our men.
And women.
That's the new slavery.
Yes, that's the new slavery.
Yeah. It's the new slavery. So
it's
they
the
set
drugs
it,
and the guns.
They set it up like that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's why I keep saying this, and that's part of the system.
But I like what Marlo said about identifying individuals within the system, because then you have someone to hold
accountable, responsible.
Yeah. So some of these major corporations that are profiting from the labor of inmates and paying them 10 cents on a dollar.
That's right.
We need to be boycotting those organizations
Thank
and those
you.
Companies. That's one way to
Well, you said
fight
the main.
The
you said
Woo!
My
favorite.
You said my
That's
favorite,
favorite word.
Word.
That's right.
Boycott.
You did say your
you
favorite word.
You struck a nerve with that one. You know, boycott. Because see,
yes, buy black.
We're not going to. we're not going to be able to do anything until we stop, until we boycott.
We mm-hmm. make our money talk.
And
for
make
us.
Our money talk.
That's what they listen
one thing,
to.
That's what
one
they
thing,
listen
one
to.
Thing that white people hate is to mess with their money.
That's right.
And now,
that's why I'm saying when you make it more of an mm-hmm. individual,
so you,
of
they
a
mess
person,
with their money.
Then that's how you're attacking the system.
Right.
Because when you just say the system, and we know that there's a lot of it out there that's going on,
yeah.
but we got to get more specific. We got to say, okay, well, wait a minute.
It's
this
so-and-so
company
so-and-so, yeah.
has been making billions of dollars off of slavery, first of all, and they're still making billions. Well, this is who we need to be protesting against.
That's right.
These people. Because they are part of the system.
Yep.
Their system is,
and if these,
hey, the system
if
is,
these private-owned prisons
is your
are benefiting so much, the state, the nation, it needs to be some type of legislature that says 50% of that, the monies that they receive needs to go into state-funded programs. That would that to help, like, Women of Tomorrow. That would help, you know, these different, the Bobby Eaton
and
show.
And it would if you weren't dealing with the legislature that may not be controlled by those same corporations.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Yep. And
or
lobbyists,
individuals.
The lobbyists are, they need
well,
to
hey,
completely disintegrate.
We got off
that.
There for a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
We got into some other stuff. You know, our passion started showing up.
Yeah. But these are things that,
that
we
are
need
vital.
To,
right.
That we need
yeah.
to instill in our young people.
It's vital.
You know, they need to hear these conversations so that they can, you know, that light might go off. Because we've got some very intelligent young people.
Oh, yeah.
It just needs to be, you know, kind of given some venues to go to and some
well, we have to
knowledge.
Reach them at a young age
a
when they're still
age.
Impressionable, and we have to teach them about their history and who they are and where they come from. And we come from a courageous people. We come from a resilient, from a strong, brilliant people. We come from people who were able to experience the Tulsa race riot, as horrific as it was, and rebuild Black Wall Street in 5 short years. And 9 years later, they had 100 more businesses than they had in 1921. That's what you come from. That's
mm-hmm.
your heritage.
They rebuilt.
They yeah. completely rebuilt. Mm-hmm. So, and we don't talk enough about that.
Exactly.
And if we instill that in our children when they're young.
So in saying that, are you saying that, because I remember the very first time that I came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was in the year 1974. And that's when they still had Black businesses on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
You really didn't have to go across the tracks. I learned to say that,
mm-hmm.
across the tracks. But as the years went by, why the sellout? Why don't we have any of that now?
Well, the end of segregation. I mean, segregation, the end of segregation happened, and the dollar, which used to circulate 19 times in the Greenwood District before leaving our community, was now being spent in white-owned stores and businesses. And our survivors say, you know, it wasn't because the product or the service was any better. It was because now I had a right to experience that and to go into a white-owned store and expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started, like I always say, we started thinking, well, hey, the white man's ice is colder than our ice.
And the money started leaving, and those small businesses began
it's
to
all
suffer.
Ice,
yeah.
You know.
That
so,
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like you were saying, that was part of the system.
Part of the system.
They made us take our money out of our neighborhood and spend it in there.
You know, integration really didn't do us any good.
No.
You know, I'm going to say it. It didn't. Integration didn't do us any good.
It
urban
did the
urban
opposite.
Renewal with urban removal.
Yes.
And
yeah.
it really, we didn't benefit from it at all. You know, we were... We, you know, and here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, there's a street that we really never even recognize, though. We recognize Greenwood. We
mm-hmm.
know what happened on Greenwood and Archer and all that, but we never talk about Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
We never talk about Lansing was a thriving street itself. It had movie theaters and businesses all down, all of that down Lansing as well. But, you know, like I said, Michelle, I'm agree with you. You said my favorite word. I heard it come out your mouth. Boycott.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the only way.
That's the only way you can build that economic development back in your community, and you hit them where it hurts. Mm-hmm.
And start bringing our dollar, which, you know, they talk about, they know the research on how powerful the Black dollar is,
mm-hmm.
And how much influence we have when we start spending our money. So we know that we need to open more businesses, attract more businesses into our community.
They're scared of that, too. That's why they're denying them.
But, you know, this is an issue that I've dealt with, and I've done this several times. I went down on Greenwood on Friday night, Saturday night. It's just dark. There's
mm-hmm.
nobody down there.
Wow.
Our people are not down there anymore.
No.
You go down there and you got businesses like Fat Guys and all of them making all the money.
White
people just walking all around Driller Stadium, just jam packed full of folks, and people of color are not down there. And I went down. I used to go down there and sometimes just sit on the bench, me and my pops or something like that, and we just look around. You should see ghosts down there on Greenwood. You really should. Mm-hmm. You should see ghosts just walking all around. You know what I mean? And then when I go down on Greenwood, I see big old signs, One Oak Field, OSU, and I don't see anything that's really standing out saying Greenwood.
You're not.
You know what I mean? And it's not down there. And you got them. They're building. They're building apartment complexes that you people of color can't afford to even move in.
No, because they start out at 800,000.
You know, they can't even. Yeah, they can't even afford to even look at it. You know what I mean? Just that's all about all you can do is look at it
and wonder who lived there.
Yeah, who lived there? You know? Yeah, right. Won't be able to probably get in. But I'm just saying. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that it's just like it's so sad to me.
Yeah.
You know, I've been going away for years, been back a couple of years now, and it's so sad to me to see what the economic part of African Americans here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, what it's come to. And I just, man, I can't believe this.
And the reality of it is, too, it's not all our fault, like what Sansray was saying earlier. They figure out how to get the money out.
Mm-hmm.
Once we start taking our money and spending it elsewhere, they got the money out.
Once
they got it out, the ones who had it, who had the money to come back in and invest, that's what they did.
Yep.
They came back in. Once they built that freeway, it was over.
It was over. They knocked it out.
And another thing is the community won't come together to bring about the economic development for Greenwood, so it forces those who are involved in Greenwood to have to go outside and look for other types of income and to be able to sustain themselves. You know what I mean?
That's true. And I like the point that Michelle brought out was, you know, when segregation ended, it was like, wow, now I can actually go into a store. They might look at me funny and maybe even follow me around, but hey, I can go in there and spend my money like anyone else. And that caused all of our other businesses to suffer, even though, like Michelle said, it didn't mean that the service or the prices or anything else was anything better. But I can see that, you know, it's a mindset. It's a brainwashing.
It is.
Because, you know, back in the day, before the riot, back in the day, there's no way that you could tell, hey, man, you know, That ice block over there on the south end, it really is colder. Because he'd look at him and say, you crazy, man. I'm staying right here. You know, I got everything I need right here.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to go anywhere.
So now we're at the point where we have no choice. You know, I can only buy so many things from a black-owned business on the north side. I still got to go to Reezer's. I still got to go to Walmart.
Yep.
I see, you know, and that really hurts my heart.
Still
got to
go.
There's not a Reezer's or a Walmart that is black owned, and it could be. Or we got the Gateway up there. They have nothing on the shelves.
It's a big convenience store.
Is that? I haven't been in there.
I'm in the neighborhood. I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And again, let's look at the picture. Let's look at who owns it.
Yeah.
Again, like what I said before.
Yeah.
Hispanics come in, the Asians come in, the Arabs come in.
When it was available to own, we didn't jump on and buy it.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't never jump on and buy stuff. You know, we just look at it, and then they come in and buy it and put it up the way they think it should be.
Yeah.
And then we have a right to do it.
And then we complain about it.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, we want to complain. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is why I think what's so important that what she's doing with this particular
Women of Tomorrow,
of Tomorrow, and what they're doing, because I think it's so vital to change the minds of our people.
Yeah.
You know, it's. Thank you.
Okay, we're back. We're back.
Once again, we're going to apologize for the technical difficulties.
Yeah,
we have
kind
been.
We are not going to let the system stop us from doing what we need to do. Doggone it. Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Once again, hey, listen, you're listening to the Bobby Eaton Show. You can call in at 6467.
Say Bobby Eaton.
5525.
Oh, Lord.
We are talking about Women of Tomorrow.
Women of
and
Tomorrow.
We have Miss, is it Michelle?
Michelle
Brown.
Yes, Michelle Brown in the studio. And she's been so patient with us.
Oh,
and
she is.
Yes, we'll have to come her. We'll have to have her on again.
Oh, we're going
to
do it again.
Yeah,
we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
Like on a Saturday.
Yeah, maybe
if you're available.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Saturday.
Yeah, on a Saturday.
We have a lot of calls.
Well, that's what we had planned
Saturday.
Before was on a Saturday.
Oh.
I double booked some stuff. We had the Natalie Cole deal.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Nice. That's what we need to have her on.
You kicked me to the curb.
How dare you?
Oh, I didn't mean to, but it was one of those things. It was like, wow.
What did I do?
Right, all these people. I'm like, my ex-boss. You say I kicked her to the curb. Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Well,
but, and then she come in, and this is happening.
Yes.
You know
yes.
What I mean? We're going to do it again.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. We'll soon.
Because this is a very, very important program that's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's positive impact, academic development, achievement for these students.
Yes.
They promote the development of healthy lifestyles. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Develop leadership skills, self-respect, positive characteristics, promote civic engagements, community service.
Right, exactly.
I love that. As servant leaders, and of course, can't go wrong because this program will give your child a big, gigantic feeling of self-esteem. And that's what we need.
Yeah. What about this coming Saturday?
Yeah, what about this Saturday?
What are your schedule like?
Oh, I'm free.
Hey,
we'll do this show again this Saturday.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know what I mean? We'll do it on this Saturday.
Wonderful.
You know what I mean? All these technical difficulties and things like that.
Yeah.
And Miss Michelle, this is what I need you to do for me.
Yes, sir.
If you can, I need you to send one of your gorgeous
photos.
Best. Photos where you just
all out. It. Yes.
Yeah, please
so we
do
can
that.
Promote it.
Please.
We want to put your face on it
on
this
that, right,
time.
Right.
I don't
somebody,
know if you want to do it.
Somebody had asked me. Somebody had asked me, is this Michelle Brown? Marlo put somebody okay in there.
What ethic is that person
no,
was? They
no.
Don't,
we need to put
they
a
don't
show
know nothing
there.
About advertising.
Right,
that's
exactly,
all that was.
Right,
that's
right.
Why.
Yeah, they don't know.
They asked the questions. I ain't seen her before. I was on the poster, you know. So
well,
anyway, great. Hey, well, but we're
again.
Back, and hey, if we beep out again.
Well.
Okay.
We're
okay. Going to
all right.
Continue.
We're back. To all of our listeners, we're going to go ahead and we're having a lot of technical difficulties on this particular show. And we're going to do it again on Saturday.
Yay.
You know, we're going to do it again on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tell all your family and tell all your friends.
Yeah, we're going to
you know,
have
check in. Women of Tomorrow, we're going to continue on. We're going to have a full week to advertise and everything like that. Saturday from 12 to 2 Central Standard Time, Women of Tomorrow.
Women of Tomorrow.
And we're
going to
have Michelle back
Miss
up
Michelle
in here.
Brown.
Yes, we want to thank her for coming in today.
Yeah, coming in today.
And being patient with us.
Yes.
I had fun. I love you guys.
Oh, it's going to be a blast Saturday.
On Saturday, we're
going
to have it fixed and everything going, you know.
And make sure that you send that picture to Marlo.
Okay.
He's going to need that. ASAP, like tonight.
Right, so that he can start
promoting.
He's
going to
do the promoting
the
show and stuff like that. It's going to be good. We're
going
to do a big old show, so that means you get 1.5 shows.
Yeah,
1.5 shows. All right. It's going to be good. Hey, thanks, Michelle, for coming on. Hey, you don't have it.